Chapter 43. Guatemala, here I come. I'd been studying in Mexico for almost 2 years. During that time, I'd completed an undergraduate degree in fine arts, and now I had what I came for. I wondered what I'd do next. The answer came with another scholarship, this time to do a master's at the Instituto. To offset the scholarship, I was asked to assist in the soft leather class for the summer quarter. In addition, I worked on a couple of independent projects. One in soft leather and the other in weaving. To be honest, I have no recollection of either, but I can guarantee both would have been garment-related, because I was selling the one-off originals I designed and made, to keep my head above water. Around this time, my relationship with Carlos Contreras was losing its luster. The relationship was made more difficult because I didn't have a telephone. Each Friday morning, I used the public phone at the Instituto to confirm his plans for the weekend. He worked as a photographer, with the publishing house that produced Mexico's most popular women's magazine. One Friday morning, we had a relationship-shattering conversation. He began by crowing about his upcoming fashion photo shoot in Paris, all expenses paid. I saw red, arced up, and spat the dummy, as I was struggling to find the rent for our love nest. A couple of weeks later, I decided to pack up and move out. Even though my relationship with my mother had improved marginally, I was reluctant to return to her house, if there was an alternative, keen to sidestep the interpersonal drama, and concentrate on my studies. Fellow student Joanne came to the rescue. She was a new arrival. Her rich Mexican lover had offered her the opportunity to study at the Instituto, and set her up in a casa chica. She'd been married to another rich Mexican who died suddenly. His family made it clear that if she made a claim on his estate, they would have her killed. This was easily done in Mexico. With little notice, she was forced to leave their upmarket apartment in downtown Mexico City, with nothing. Destitute, but not wanting to return to the United States, a friend introduced her to El Señor, who threw her a lifeline. He came to San Miguel every Friday bearing gifts, to have sex, and eat lunch. Joanne kindly offered me her spare room, on the proviso I was not around on Fridays. One of El Señor's particularly useful gifts was an industrial sewing machine, which was fabulous for sewing leather. I'd brought with me a stylish hippie-esque, long-sleeved cream chamois leather top, with wooden bead decoration. As chamois was plentiful and cheap in Mexico, Joanne and I decided to make facsimiles to sell. Next, we designed a trendy, fully lined soft leather backpack to add to our range. The demand for both products was huge, and we had trouble keeping up. In between sewing leather and avoiding El Señor's weekly visit, my full-time study continued, as I was determined to keep my eye on the prize, by completing the coursework for my degree. According to my transcript, for the autumn quarter of 1975, I continued to assist in the soft leather class, as well as doing independent projects in both soft leather and weaving. And lastly, to spice things up a bit, landscape painting, with well-known American artist and educator, Fred Samuelson. Around this time, I heard talk of a 3-month field trip to Guatemala for Instituto students, the brainchild of Don Patterson, a faculty member. The idea came out of a conversation he had with Nicholas Helmuth, director of the Foundation for Latin American Anthropological Research, based in Guatemala City. Helmuth knew that Harvard University's Peabody Museum was having difficulty deciphering the hundreds of semi-pictorial Mayan glyphs that appeared at all the excavated Mayan sites in southern Mexico, Belize, Honduras, El Salvador, and Guatemala. So, Patterson hatched a plan to take a group of artists to an accessible site to draw every stick, leaf, branch, bark, root, nut and flower, of every tree and plant from every angle in the hope that clues from nature could help speed up the decipherment process. I expressed interest and was accepted to join the team because of my commercial art training. In addition to the excitement generated in preparing for the Guatemala trip, I received a marriage proposal from Jaime, a balding accountancy graduate of the University of Guanajuato. I'd attended his graduation some months earlier. It was a rowdy, drunken affair, at which my former housemate, Elsa, was found standing on our table, partway through the speeches, loudly chanting, "Cabron, cabron, cabron." Translation, asshole? Instead of, "Pelon, pelon, pelon." Translation, bald? Her outburst brought the house down. Jaime's family home was the only one in San Miguel where I felt free to come and go at will. Mostly, the townsfolk were quite guarded and keen to protect their privacy, as they felt overrun by the increasing number of permanent residents and students arriving from the other side of the Rio Grande. I assume the family welcomed me because I was Australian. I particularly liked his mother and his English-speaking sister, but not enough to accept his invitation to join the family. In late December, a few weeks before the start of the winter quarter, 12 of us took a bus to Mexico City, followed by a flight to Guatemala City. The adventure had begun. We planned to find a suitable house to rent, set it up quickly, and begin work with the Foundation for Latin American Anthropological Research. We found a house big enough for 8 students, team leader Patterson, his wife, their baby daughter, and their maid. After a number of trips to the market, the house was fitted out with the basics for our 3-month stay. Before leaving Mexico, I'd met the Guatemalan Consul General to Mexico when I visited the consulate for a visa. He was most interested in our project, and, as it happened, would be in Guatemala City around the time we'd be there. I stayed in touch with him, thinking it would be handy to know a friendly diplomat if for some reason we needed help in Guatemala. One day, he arrived at the house unannounced, and to my surprise invited me to join him as his guest for a weekend in Antigua, Guatemala. What a great opportunity! Antigua is a world-famous colonial town, an hour by road from the city. In addition to loads of historical charm, the town had jewelry stores, selling polished jadeite, a greenstone mined locally, and a favorite of the Maya for 1800 years. Whilst there, we also explored a market, selling garments woven by the women, using a backstrap loom. This was my first exposure to the richness and diversity of Guatemalan textiles, and the first and only time a woman has sold me the hand-woven shirt off her back. When I returned to the city, I was told that Tikal, the classic Maya site in the P10, had been selected for our documentation project, because the facilities there were reasonably good. We were all very excited. Before we headed out to Tikal, Helmuth provided us with a detailed briefing on the Maya, based on recent excavations at El Cibal, a site not far from Tikal. There, the excavators had devised a completely new approach to archaeological practice. They used a series of supported planks, suspended above a burial site, for the excavators to lie on, thereby removing the risk of crushing artifacts in the layers below. To generate income for the foundation, Helmuth used the building's small theater at 5 nights a week to present an hour-long lecture for tourists on the Maya. The lecture was supported by Helmuth's slides of the El Cibal excavation. But our departure to Tikal was delayed because, out of the blue, Helmuth was summoned to the United States, and in his absence, a replacement presenter for the lectures was required. The obvious person for the job was our leader, so I was most surprised to be asked to do the gig instead. I accepted the challenge, and learned later that my Australian accent swung the deal. In preparation, I attended every one of Helmuth's lectures before he left, determined to extract as many factual details for each of his slides as my brain would hold. My confidence steadied, in the knowledge that Patterson would back me up if I was asked a curly question I couldn't answer. Our impatience intensified as we marked off the days until Helmuth's return. We were busting to get out to Tikal, to see the site for ourselves and start drawing. Little did we know what nature held in store for us. On reflection. The Instituto Group. We had fun setting up our temporary base camp in Guatemala City. Finding and furnishing the rental house was straightforward, and before long we'd settled in. We each had a straw mattress on the floor, with a sleeping bag on top. I shared a ground floor room with a young woman I didn't know. As we exchanged our life stories, she explained that she financed her studies by working as a porn actor. I remember being shocked by her revelation, so I quickly changed the subject. Cakes in Guatemala City. Occasionally we explored the city, and to our delight found an Austrian cake shop on the bus route to Helmuth's office. Sometimes we'd hop off, to feast our eyes on the cabinets filled with rows and rows of the most delicious cakes and pastries. Art to eat. Maya lectures for the foundation. In hindsight, I must have been crazy to take on a public speaking role in a specialist subject area I knew little about. And I assume I was spurred on by the self-confidence of youth, and the knowledge that if I got into trouble, Patterson was there to back me up. Facts. Casa Chica. The literal English translation is little house, but in Latin America, the expression refers to a smaller house for a wealthy man's mistress. Latin American men, who can afford to maintain a second household, have considerable status. Guatemala. Guatemala is bordered by Mexico, Belize, Honduras, El Salvador, and the Caribbean and Pacific Oceans. In 1975, the population of Guatemala was 6 million. By 2024, the population had increased to 18 million. Guatemala is the most populous country for its size in Central America. The Maya Civilization. Spanned over 3,000 years, between 1800 BCE and 1500 AD, the civilization covered southern Mexico, all of Guatemala and Belize, plus the northern tips of both El Salvador and Honduras. Foundation for Latin American Anthropological Research. Was founded by Nicholas Helmuth in 1969, and their work continues to this day. El Cibal. The Peabody Museum has been associated with El Cibal since 1895, when Tiberto Mahler explored it for the first time on behalf of the museum. Another expedition was sent in 1905, after which interest in the site waned. Interest was renewed in the 1960s, with yearly expeditions from 1961 through 1964. In the intensive excavations carried out between 1964 and 1968, 45 burials were uncovered.